The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Hey, have you ever been on one of those really long family road trips, driving for hours, and it's pushing midnight, and suddenly you realize you have no idea where the last 200 kilometers went? And you're like, where am I right now? Did I just pass through a state? And if you've really been zoning out because you've been on cruise control, you might be asking some really random questions like, who am I even right now? I've got three kids in the back seat. I should probably learn their names. Did I just really convince myself that gas station beef jerky is a good source of protein? Why is my wife staring at me like she's reconsidering all of her life decisions? Now, I'm not saying that I've ever, ever been there. But I'm not saying I'm not. Now, every once in a while, you gotta pull over. You gotta refresh. You gotta check the map. And you know, it's interesting, this isn't just a driving problem. This is a spiritual problem. Because you can be moving. You can be busy. You can be driving. Even for God. And still kind of be zoned out on Him. Oh, sure, you can convince yourself, hey, I'm fine. I mean, the car's moving, the wheels are turning, my Spotify playlist is going, but you're not actually alert. You're kind of coasting because cruise control feels good. It's comfortable until it's not. And you realize that somehow you ended up in a little town called apathy. And if you actually stop and ask yourself, where am I right now with the Lord? The answers aren't always comfortable. Here's what I sense in my soul right now as I've been thinking and praying over the last few weeks leading to today. Let's just pull over for a minute. Not because we've crashed, not because we've failed. We've been moving. God's been moving. But before we as a church rush into another ministry season, God is giving us this moment to just stop and ask, am I awake to what He is doing? And that involves asking questions like, where have I actually grown spiritually in the last year? Where am I now? And what road am I actually on today spiritually? Where is it taking me? Because if not, we risk racing into another ministry season, half asleep at the wheel. And that's what today's about. And we can actually do that well with gratitude and honesty and hope. And we gotta. And I'll tell you why. Because eternity is too real, Christ is too supreme, and this life is too short for us not to. So I'm just going to do three moves today to help you with that. Very, very, very simple points. You can start with this first one. Let's just check in the rearview mirror for a moment. Where have we been the last year? Now, here's what I want to do today. I I want to remind you of the five series we've journeyed through together as a church since last September, like a year ago today. Five ways that God has been speaking to this church and hopefully to you personally through His Word, through worship, through prayer. And I'm not doing a history lesson, but I just want to ask the key question for you to consider. Did I do anything with it? Now, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on reviewing the first series. Don't worry at the length, because the other ones are going to be more like pit stops. But I want to remind you of where we were last year at this time. We kicked off last year with a three-week series called Own the Vision. And why did we do that? Why take 3 weeks to do that? Here's why. Because our elders had spent the entire summer kind of re-looking at our mission, Everyday Disciples. You've heard it many, many times. And we worked hard, prayed hard to put some words around that to form a new vision, six new core values, and a way of calling people to what it means to be a disciple. Because, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, we're about making disciples. A lot of churches say that. Most churches say that. But it's another thing entirely to actually put pen to paper and define what you mean by it, which is what we were doing. To say, here is what a disciple is marked by. Here is what it boils down to. Here is what it costs. And we knew we had to flesh that out for you. We knew we had to do that from the pulpit with God's word in hand so you could understand it. And do you know what's interesting is out of that came some what I would call fairly big moves within this church flowing right out of it. I'll just give you an example. For example, our core value, genuine community, led us to a complete restatement of what we mean by community groups. Not just saying, hey, that's an option for you to consider if you have, you know, a few extra minutes of free time, maybe in a week, but actually to say, no, you know what? Everyone who wants to grow as a disciple should find one of those groups to plug into. And we have a whole bunch of different types, different styles, different formats. And if you're new here, there's ways to plug in, and you can talk to Pastor Luke after the service at the welcome table to find out more about that. We then leaned into our other core value, outward impact. And this year, we decided to stand with our church plant, Chelsea Green Community Church, who had been through a tough stretch. And we helped them work through an interim pastor to sort of stabilize the place and then lead to, hopefully, a new permanent one, Lord willing, maybe very soon. We then also, coming out of our core value on passionate worship, we took a major step forward, which led to us bringing on a new worship pastor this year. And here's the reason why. Because we want to press further into becoming a worshiping community together. That really, it's not about the songs, it's not about the notes, it's not about the chords. It's about stirring our hearts and pressing us further and stretching our faith. And oh, by the way, at the same time, we expanded our children's ministry to grade 3, which meant a complete rethink of classes and ages and approach from the ground up. I had no idea what was involved in all that because I've never done children's ministry, but I will tell you there was many moving pieces. And that's not just logistics. That's discipleship at the youngest ages. And all through that, the ripple effect is we had to make some much needed facility changes to go along with it. Expanded offices, a dedicated welcome center, renovations and repairs in just about every single room of the building, including the one you're sitting in right now, technology adjustments, cable reconfigurations, everything at the back. My goodness. Why do we do that? For one reason. So that ministry throughout the week can happen simpler with less obstacles in the way. Now, I actually just want to pause for a moment on this one and just ask you this. If you were involved in any way in helping with any of those facility touch-ups, renovations, big part, I don't even care if it's like you only did 2 hours. Would you raise your hand right now? Could we all just see you? Yep. And there's about 10 others who aren't here this morning that were heavily involved in all of that, sacrificing incredibly. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you to you all. You didn't just fill a role, man. You carried weight. God saw it. Now, I want to now just add, say to that, some things are well polished through that process. Some things are almost there. And some things are still in process. And that's the thing with change. It's rarely easy. It's often messy. And it needs patience, grace, and flexibility. And I'm standing here today as your lead pastor just asking you for continued grace and flexibility while we try to continue doing the work that we need to do. And I promise you we'll make mistakes. We'll occasionally bump into things along the way, things that, well, we did it this way because we've always done it that way. Well, we'll be bumping into some of that. But please understand, all the changes that we've been making come from a heart which is about aligning flow of stuff with our vision. And that's critical. So I do really thank you for your patience and your support as we do that. Now, let's go back to last September. After that, we jumped near the end of the month into the Gospel of Mark. We'd already been there. The series was called Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb Revealed. Week after week, we saw his claims, his authority, his power. And do you know what? He never once in that book said, "Would you just admire me?" He said, "Worship me." He wasn't calling for casual fans. He was calling for radical disciples. And when you see him, as Mark presents him to us, there were really only two responses in that series: repent and believe, or turn away. So my question to you this morning, what did you do with that? Did in any way it move you to reverence and worship? Did it move you to trust and faith? Did it strengthen your view of the beauty of Jesus Christ? Or did you keep him where he was? And then we came to Easter on the heels of that. Resurrection, hope, and power. But that was, do you know what? And it's going to be the same thing this year at Easter. It's never about one day. That resurrection hope and power is meant every day to transform and sustain you through the life of this very, very broken world that we're living in. The same world that needs that same king. Right after that came a series called Call to Me, Conversations with God. We took 10 weeks to look at prayer. Various passages, various Psalms and New Testament prayers, and even a 3-week arc around Hezekiah and his desperate prayers. 10 weeks of seeing that God hears, that he answers, that he invites us to come to him in prayer, in every circumstance. And maybe you remember nodding in some of those services, maybe you even took some notes. But the real issue and the real question is whether you learned about, not just whether you learned about prayer, but whether you saw your need for it, whether you prayed. Did you call on him more this year? Did you see him as the place to go to, knowing he'd receive you? Or are you still just muscling your way through life? After that, in our fourth series, we had one called Wise Up, Proverbs for the Real Life. We let Proverbs shed some wisdom, light, into the shadow places of our hearts, of our lives, into our words and our decisions. It was, frankly, as I said when I was preaching, Proverbs was more in your face than I expected for change. Trust me, Proverbs is not poetry to admire. Proverbs isn't for Pinterest quotes. Proverbs is for change. It's for impact and wisdom. So, did you let it affect you? Did it show up in your looking at your heart? Did it show up in the way that you use your words with people? Did it show up in how you approach some key decisions you were making? Finally, and most recently, we had a series called Jonah, the Rebel Prophet. That was near the end of our summer. And we saw how God's mercy crosses every comfort zone line we draw. And the uncomfortable part, God's mercy doesn't just chase you, as we saw. It asks you to be so moved by his mercy that you would extend that same mercy to those that you have already written off. Actually, to stop clutching to anger and bitterness, to soften your heart. So you step back from all of those series we went through, and here's really what I'm asking you or reminding you, is that my gut says somewhere in that year, some of you purposed in your heart that you wanted to make some changes spiritually. You even told the Lord this. I want to grow, Lord. I want to be different here. But life got loud, as it does. And at the end of the day, nothing's shifted. Friends, God hasn't forgotten those prayers. God hasn't forgotten those commitments. He remembers them. He remembers what he pressed on your heart. And he still intends to produce the likeness of Christ in you if you are a believer. Right in those very places he was pressing on. So don't let go of that. He hasn't. Which is why before I talk to you a little bit about where we're going, I want to stop now and take stock of where we're really at with him. Because if we don't, we won't be ready. We won't be ready to go forward. We won't be actually ready to fulfill and move towards our vision of renewal and revival. And that's the point I've been leading to in this second one here. It's this. Check the dashboard. Check the dashboard. And that's a good way of finding out where we really are right now. Now, here's what I want to say about dashboards and my experience with them. I hate them. There's never been a dashboard light that's flashed in my life that made me feel good. Check engine, low fuel, low tire pressure, low credit score, low hairline integrity. I mean, honestly, when has a dashboard light ever said, "You're awesome"? You're the goat. They don't do that. Why? That's not their purpose. The very purpose of a dashboard is to alert you to things that need to be dealt with. We don't like them, but we need them. And spiritually, it's the same things. Lights are flashing. Are you paying attention? Man, most of us are running so fast in life. We're chasing so many things. We don't even realize at times where we're headed or why or even what's actually flashing. Crazy busy. Now, some of that's unavoidable because of our lives. And some of that is definitely because of choices you've made to add to your schedule. And we're chasing all of it. And at the end of the week, isn't it true? It's usually the loudest voices that got our attention, that had us. But the things that matter the most, really? The things that matter for eternity, that count, did they make the list? Because I know you feel it. I do. I need to shoot straight with you here on this. I got to drop a passage in front of you that's like a giant dashboard light. I mean, you may not like it. You may read it and have some questions about, what does that mean and how do I apply it? And but you're not going to be able to ignore it. I can't. It's coming from Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. I'll tell you this, it's not soft. And I'm putting it here because it sets the trajectory to where we all need to be alive this year. Now, the passage I'm reading, it just puts us on the road today. Okay? The series that it's setting up is going to be the series that helps us drive it. Okay? So I want to read the entire passage to you. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip there, but if it's on the screen, just listen to the word of the Lord. And do this. Understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, that's a bomb of a passage. And I see three things in there I just want to pull out for you today. Number one, wake up. Look at verse 11. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. What is he talking about? Wake up. He's talking about waking up from spiritual drifting, from spiritual games, from apathy. Do you know how easy it is as a believer to start slipping into spiritual sleepwalking? No one wakes up one day and simply says to themselves, I think I'm going to become indifferent to the Lord today. No, it happens slowly over time. That hunger you used to feel for holiness fades. The joy you used to feel in worship quiets. Prayer that used to just spill out of your mouth naturally has become mechanical, or it's disappeared. And you don't even notice the drift until you're already in it. And Paul says, the alarm is ringing. Wake up. Some of you are thinking, okay, Leo, why are you pressing on this? Because apathy, frankly, is your real inner voice. It's the voice that sounds like this. Later. I'll deal with that later. I'll pray later. I'll get involved later. I'll deal with that issue. I know the Lord was pressing on me later. I'll get around to it. I've got other things to do. But do you know what? Later becomes never. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you to understand this. You don't have endless tomorrows. You don't have time to keep hitting the snooze button. Eventually, apathy will sound like this. I don't even really care. Paul's statement, the hour has already come to wake up. Now, some of you know exactly things God's been flashing on your dashboard. And you've been doing the later thing. And I'm telling you, this is it. This is it. Now, this is your season to lean into what God wants to do with you. To truly taste freedom and the power of a life alive to His Holy Spirit. Because half asleep Christians are no match for a wide awake enemy. And a relentless culture. And a shallow faith. Don't let this year slip by in a haze. And that's the second thing I want to lean to that's in the passage. I call it cleanup. We've got wake up, now cleanup. Look at verse 12. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. By the way, this is Paul's urgent voice. Why is he urgent? Because of what he said at the back end of verse 11. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, I got to explain that to you simply. The word salvation is a big term theologically. It covers a lot of things. And it depends on the context. It could trip you up if you read that and go, wait, I am a Christian. I'm already saved. What's he talking about? Well, in Scripture, salvation can refer to the past, that time you first believed. It can refer to the present, the ongoing work of holiness we call sanctification. Or it could refer to that future day when you will stand before Christ face to face. And every tick of the clock brings you closer to a day that's already on the Lord's calendar. Now, if I were to tell you that you would be standing before him in 24 hours, what would change? That's what Paul wants you to feel in this passage. That's his point. Live like the day is near. And it is. Every passing day is one less day until you have to give an account. And that's why he's saying clean up. Now, where's the cleanup come? Look at verse 13. It's very straightforward. These aren't Leo's notes. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Notice, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Wow, he's naming names here. These are the deeds of darkness he's talking about. And Paul says, we need to let them hit us. That's what I want to do for a moment. I'm going to take those three. Carousing and drunkenness. Really, what he's saying is, stop numbing your way through life. Some of us will automatically be thinking, but yeah, you know what? I just need to take the edge off. Look, this isn't just talking about your numbing agent of choice. It's talking about where do you go for comfort? What has become the savior you're running to when life hurts? And the warning here is this wastes your life. It wastes it. And it quenches the Holy Spirit. Second thing, sexual immorality and debauchery. Friends, don't twist God's grace into an excuse. Don't believe the lie that God doesn't care about what you do with your body. He does, he sees, and he knows. But I'm not hurting anyone. You're hurting yourself, and you're hollowing out your soul. Then the third one, dissension and jealousy. This is the silent killer in a church. Dissension especially. I think sometimes long-term believers will look at this one and go, you know, they kind of look at it and wink a bit. They say to themselves, you know, I don't drink. I'm not on any substances. I'm faithful to God in my purity, for sure. Got that locked down tight. So I have some flex here. I can speak my truth the way I want. Meanwhile, bitterness or self-righteousness is eating away at your heart, and your words chip away at others. You're not just venting. You're recruiting. And then you tear down and leave the emotional bill for others to pay. So I'm asking you, what do you need to put aside? What needs to clean up in your life in light of eternity? In light of eternity. This actually requires some self-assessment. It's the easiest thing here, friends, to blame shift. It really is. And the third thing I see in this passage that Paul just moves to is, I would just say it this way, grow up. Look at verse 14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That word flesh, we trip over a lot. I can simplify it to you this way. It means your old self that wants what God doesn't. Your old self that wants things that God doesn't want for you. Some translations say this, make no provision for the flesh. I like that rendering better. It's more direct. It's clearer. Don't just wake up or clean up, grow up. How? Paul just says, put on Christ. What does that mean? Make no provision for the flesh. What do I do with that? Well, here's some helpful things to think about. Some of us need to hear this. It means don't make room for sin. Don't give it oxygen. Don't give it a chance to clamp into your life. Some would say to all of this, I can handle this. I've got it. I'll be fine. That right there is the delusion that takes people down every single day. And you know what? I don't want to handle it myself. I want to make no provision for the flesh. How? Cut it off before it starts. Don't go near the places you know you'll stumble. Don't stand at the crossroads hoping you'll choose the right way. Quit feeding the thing that wants to bury you. Because some of us this year have allowed ourselves to go places, to engage in things, to indulge some new thinking, to drift into some patterns that we never should have. And if someone doesn't challenge you about it or point you to the dashboard that's flashing, you may not even care. So when Paul says, verse 14, clothe yourselves with Christ, he ain't being mystical here. He's being practical. He's actually calling us to what's called Christian maturity. And it sets up our theme verse for the year. And you'll know why a lot more when we get into our series. It's from Colossians 1:28. Hear this. And for those of you that are memorizing verses, just toss this in. Toss this into your rotation. Him we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. You ask, what is maturity? Good question. What is maturity? What is a mature disciple? A mature disciple of Jesus is one who what? I mean, I could go around the room right now, ask you that question. I get a ton of good answers. Oh, reads their Bible. They pray. They volunteer. They don't do this. They don't do that. They do this. And by the time I'm done, I'd have 42 sentences. But at some point, you got to focus it. Or it's too elusive. And here at Summerside, we've defined it simply to help you. A disciple is someone who worships, pursues, and serves Jesus. Not perfectly, of course, but increasingly. Worship Him. What are we talking about? We're talking about lifting Him up with our hearts, not just mouthing words, but worshiping in spirit and in truth. Pursuing Him. Walking with Jesus daily and with others. Feeding on His Word. Scriptural intake. Living in prayer. Connected in community. That's all part of it. and then serving Him. Every single one of us at this church, in some way, shouldering kingdom responsibilities in their local church. And do you know what? Shouldering responsibilities in the local church, I'll admit it. I'll tell you, it comes at a cost. It's sacrifice of time and resources. I understand that. But understand, that's what you're bringing to the Lord. He's the one you're doing it for. Not me, not this church leadership. It's what you're presenting to Him, your ministry life, what it says about what you prioritize. Now, you might be thinking, okay, great. What do I actually do with this? You just tossed a grenade of a passage at us. How do I live it out and apply it? I hope you're thinking that. You should be thinking that. That's exactly the tension I want you to be thinking. Because this isn't a drive-by or a drive-through sermon where my assumption was by simply talking about that for 11 minutes, you'd all change. I get it. No, I wanted to set up for you the tension and the invitation. The invitation to walk deeply with Christ this year through a new series that will actually really help you with all of those things, which is exactly what I want to just set up right now. I'll explain it in this final point. Check the road ahead. This is where we're going. This fall, we're going on a journey through the book of Colossians. 20 weeks. Verse by verse. And yes, it's going to be spaced out. We have Advent. We have some other little inserts here and there. That's why I've packaged the whole book into actually three mini-series. The first mini-series is The Jesus You Thought You Knew. That's Colossians 1. In that series, and this is great for long-term believers, or if you're here today, you may not be a Christian, you're not even sure what you think of anything to do with spirituality, but you have some questions, perfect! This is fantastic for you. A good way to look at it and ask questions, but really, this is where we're going to really see the real Jesus, not just the tame one. And for those of you that aren't part of a church, maybe you're still investigating Christianity, let me just talk to people who are professing Christians for a moment. Not just the tame one that you have under control and that you're comfortable with. I'm talking about the King. And if you'll go through it, you're going to have an expanded view of who He really is. And at the same time, it will expand your hope as you see Him in His glory and really know, why is He worth it all? Why is He worth dying for? So you don't have that. You are going to be a target for deception. Here's the second series that's going to come. It's going to be called Don't Buy the Lies. That's going to be Colossians 2. Because if chapter 1 was about seeing Jesus rightly, chapter 2 is about refusing every cheap substitute. And it's interesting that all the cheap substitutes that were flying around back in Paul's day have been rebranded by some great marketing company called Hell. And that the same things we're facing and being saturated today with in our culture. Lies that sound good, that feel spiritual, but underneath it they whisper, Jesus isn't enough. And this is going to help us expose those voices and see what we're being saturated with
and anchor us in the freedom of knowing Jesus Christ is truly our liberator. And here's the third series we're going to go through. It's called Living Above the Noise. That's chapter 3 and 4. And this is really where it gets really practical. This is where we really find out what it means to make changes, to put on Christ, to put off the old self. How do you fight sin? How do I build a godly home? How do I stay faithful at work when it's so miserable? How do I rise above a world that never stops shocking me or offending me or scaring the life out of me? It will push you, though, to face your daily life and the vision of Christ that you have. Now, you might be thinking, as I've just summarized that, I love the fact that you gave us the sermon series vision, Leo, but what about all the events? What about new initiatives? What about new startup things? Where are those activities? I don't hear you talking about. Yes, those things matter. And they'll all flow out of our core values and our mission. But I'm focusing here today for a reason. And I need you to hear me on this. At the heart of every ministry, initiative, and program that we have is something far more basic and far more powerful. And it's in the presence of God among His people. It's what happens when we gather here to worship, to sing with our hearts, to sit under His word preached, to pray together in community. Because it's in this type of setting, as a congregation, where God ignites hearts, where He changes lives, and where He sends us out with power. Don't shrug that off. Right now, the Holy Spirit is at work within you. And I'm telling you, this could be the year. This could be the year where God reshapes you as you respond to Him. That's the road ahead. 3 miniseries in Colossians. Spirit and truth worship. And if you lean in, and I mean really lean in, you will not be the same at the end. So choose not to be on cruise control this year. Choose not to go through the motions. Make this the season that you encounter Jesus Christ like never before. I'm in. How about you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You've heard us sing. You've heard our prayer. You've seen us right now in this place sitting before You under Your word. And Lord, we cry out for You to move in our hearts and minds and produce real change. Hear and see the cries of our individual hearts and our lives, things that we haven't shared with others right now. And Lord, I pray for Your power to ignite believers here and to draw those that You are calling to see the love of Jesus Christ and to experience the transformed life. And Lord, help us today. Help us to worship and live in light of eternity. In light of the fact that this blip of time that we have is so, so short. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, as we close with these last two songs, could you just stand with us? the song really outlines that before, present, and after. And maybe this morning you're feeling maybe a bit apprehensive of what Christ is calling you to in this coming year. But this song just speaks of his faithfulness, that God will be faithful and he will guide us as we live for him in whatever that looks like and how he's speaking to you this morning. Let's sing.